This is Talk is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ Susti. This is the show where we talk about state-sponsored corporatism and what to do about it. In this installment, I'm going to be talking about the national debt and possibly defaulting on the national debt. I think we should default on the national debt. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
Jimmy Johnson bass. Chad Wackerman drums.
Yeah.
Should America default on its national debt? I just want to point out I'm not advocating the violent overthrow of the United States government. I am advocating the overthrow of corporate America. No one is saying this, no one dares say that we should cancel or default on the national debt. But, hey, we're practically a third world country. This is the way third world countries deal with their national debt. Venezuela, among many other countries, has defaulted in the past on the debt that they owe to international banks. Banks are in business to lend money, so who else are they going to loan to? America is the most stable economy, as unstable as it is, it's still the most stable economy in the world. If there is a more stable economy, maybe we should switch to that to base the world's currency on, because all currency right now is based on the American Treasury bill. The only other country they would lend to is China, and China is so powerful right now, they can call their own shots. They can basically name their interest rates, and we would be the second most powerful country, right under whatever interest rate they ask for. They can basically name their own price. And maybe at some point we would go back to the gold standard. This would force us all to go back to the gold standard, and we might as well take the hit now rather than in the future. In the future, we will have to, at some point, if we continue on in this direction, we will have to default on our currency, because we have become a third world country. And the price of T-bills is set by the Fed, by our Federal Reserve anyway, so it isn't private banks. Even though the Federal Reserve is made up of private banks, they're still under control of the president. So, by appointing the head of the Federal Reserve, appointing someone who would still keep interest rates down. And I advocate that when we do renegotiate the national debt, that war debt would be the interest rate that we pay a higher interest rate, because that's what they say will happen if we default on our debt, where all our interest rates will go up to be paid, even though we set the interest rates for the world. The theory goes that we would be paying higher interest rates. So war debt, I think we should pay a higher interest rate on. Maybe we would think about going to war from now on, the costs of war, if we had to pay a higher interest rate on any war debt. Just about every religious group advocates a debt jubilee. The Bible advocates every 7 years an abolition of all debt. So they understood this even 2,000 years ago, that eventually banks become way too powerful and debt needs to be renegotiated. So here, this is an opportunity to fix global finance, and so I urge everyone to write their representative and tell them that you're in favor of a debt jubilee for the United States, especially on war debt. Also on this show, I try to refute some misconceptions. I actually believe in small-scale capitalism, as did Proudhon and Marx and Smith were all similar, read each other. This is a quote from Adam Smith, who wrote The Wealth of Nations, which is what capitalism is based on. "It is but equity that they who feed, clothe, and lodge the whole body of the people should have such a share of the produce of their own labor as to be themselves tolerably well fed, clothed, and lodged." So it doesn't do any good to just compete on wages. You're supposed to compete with better services and better products, not wages, because otherwise no one will have the money to buy your products. So basically what Adam Smith, the founder of capitalism, was saying that is that people need to be paid enough to afford the goods they produce. Pretty basic stuff. All right, so I'm aware that default is advocated by conservatives who at this time basically are state-sponsored corporatists or fascists. They're not true conservatives. And the Tea Party, too, is advocating default. And to me, they're similar to the, if you research the American Legion, they're similar to the American Legion, where they had good intent, but they've been co-opted by multinational corporations and the rich. To me, this is an opportunity for Obama to do a debt jubilee, where you would erase debt or forgive debt, and he needs to stop being such a moderate and an apologist for the banks and take a stand and step up and get us some debt forgiveness. Our debt is held by people with pensions. So, of course, they would take a major hit, which would not be good. But according to Wikipedia, only a small percentage of loans are held by pensioners, and the others are in a small percentage is held by insurance companies, which I could do a whole show on insurance companies that are outrageously wealthy. They actually held land, held... Alright, so the rest of the U.S. debt is owned by China and Japan, of course. Almost 50, just under 50% is owned by China and Japan. But interestingly, 48% of the federal deficit is owned by the Federal Reserve. And it's so complicated how this is done. It's so complicated, but it has to do with a fiat currency. Of course, there's nothing backing it but basically the American taxpayer and the production of American workers. So, theoretically, really, the Fed, you know, they don't explain, anytime you have a fiat currency, they make it vague and they won't tell you how things are done. So, theoretically, they could just get rid of this 48% of the loans and just come up with some reason, some obscure reason for doing it, and we would all be better, you know, without this 48% of the national debt could just be forgiven, and no one would be the wiser if they did it the right way. But the people that should really take the hit are the private banks, that the member banks of the Federal Reserve, because they're the same banks that are chartered to serve the community, and they've been loaning to corporations for mergers and acquisitions instead of loaning to home buyers and small businesses. And the Fed is mandated to increase employment anyway, so they would have to make sure these banks did the right thing and lowered poverty, so they would actually make, the banks in the long run would actually make more money stimulating the economy anyway, and they would probably be able to write off these loans. But interestingly, the banks right now under the Forgiveness Act, these member banks are paid interest for required for their federal, for their fractional reserves, which they need to hold reserves in the banks so that they don't collapse and so that people have confidence in them. So we're paying them interest anyway, so they should have to take a hit on this, and not, we shouldn't have to pay them interest. And they could easily charge the forgiveness of this debt to the member banks. Because banks used to be, when we had a savings and loan, my father was actually vice president of a savings and loan when we had savings and loans. and they were part of the community, and they loaned to the community. They didn't just loan to corporations that then we bailed out. So they made a sure thing by loaning. Right now they have a sure thing they loan to corporations, and then if the corporation goes bankrupt, they get bailed out, and they get their money anyway. They're supposed to take a risk on the community that they're chartered to serve. So, And then we, the taxpayer, insure them anyway. So if they're not going to loan to and take a risk with us, small businesses and home buyers, then they can't be insured by us. And of course you can't loan to home buyers that can't pay back the loan. But what they've been loaning to is corporations that then don't pay people a living wage, and of course they can't afford a house. So if they loan to small businesses and require them to pay a living wage, then people could afford to borrow money to buy a house. This has been another episode of Talk is Cheap, where corporations sponsored by the state disgracefully keep aristocrats in power at the expense of productive tradespeople, and what you can do about it. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
Into the lens.